Next on BYU Sports Nation, dynamic defending. What's the greatest game-saving defensive play by a BYU athlete? Hashtag thank you, Tim Howard. Hey, former BYU footballer Brian Logan back on the desk for a defensive theme show. Plus, his buddy Corby Eason joins us live for a real look at why the BYU pass defense in 2014 could save the season. Let's go.
This is BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store. Simulcast on BYU Radio and BYU TV. Now from Studio B, your hosts, Spencer Linton and Brian Logan.
BYU Sports Nation on your radio and television and other contraptions. Presented by the BYU Store, your home for authentic BYU products. We say what is up. Wednesday, July 2nd, I'm Spencer Linton, teamed up with wannabe GQ model Brian Logan.
Oh, wannabe. I'm trying to just keep up with you, man. It's hard. You know, I kind of get embarrassed. You know, I'm giving you a compliment, and you already throwing shots, man. Nah. I allowed you to be on today. I thought it would be good for you to come over. You know, on the takeover.
How dare
you?
I
just giving me shots, man. I take it as a compliment, though. You know, because if you don't have haters, you're not doing something right. So
I tease because you are very well dressed, and it's ironic that we're talking about this the day after the BYU Roar of Cougar student section called out Jerem Jordan for not dressing well.
Oh no.
We need to defend Jerem.
It's not
as bad as they were making it out to be. Come on.
Jerem is
he has a relaxed look.
Yeah, he does have a relaxed look. It's the comfy look.
Yes.
I would say, right?
Absolutely.
The comfy look. I like the black BYU polo though, the Nike. That's nice. Wait a minute. I didn't see this up close. This like pattern on it. Wow.
Yep. I'm
jealous. You got the award today, my friend.
I have to thank Brett Pine and Duff Tittle of BYU Athletics for enlightening me to the black.
Brett, can you hook a brother up? see how I pronounce my E's and my R's right there? Can you hook a brother up? I didn't say brother. I said brother. Hook a brother up.
Get it right.
Please.
Hey, great to have you with us. Not often in an entire nation, and I'm speaking collectively, feels such a sense of pride as what they did yesterday, watching the U.S. men's national soccer team, and specifically Tim Howard, the keeper. I mean, a performance for the ages. Single-handedly kept the United States in that game with Belgium.
He was balling, golly.
I know. It was incredible. The saves that he made, the most since 1966, the World Cup, I believe, that England won way back when. So
it looked like the Matrix, man. Just some of his stops he was making. I mean, he went like to the left on one, and then the ball came to his right, and he like put his foot out, and he was like all bent. And I was like, whoa, that's the Matrix right there. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, he was legit.
Very,
man.
Very flexible. A lot of yoga classes.
One of the best in the world. So with that in mind, we're taking a defensive approach to today's show, quite literally with Brian here, former defensive back for BYU. And we want you to join our conversation with this on the Twitter question. In honor of Tim Howard, what is the best defensive play by a BYU player that saved a game? Join the conversation wherever, whenever you feel like it on Twitter, and use the hashtag BYUSN to have your tweets read on the air. Brian, there are some seriously intriguing responses coming in on this. And it's not just football only. We've seen basketball. We've seen volleyball. The majority football.
Oh, yeah. It's only right. I mean, it's football.
But what's the best defensive play you've ever seen that saved a game by a BYU athlete?
Yeah, I like Kyle Van Noy in Ole Miss. In 2011. I also like him in the Poinsettia Bowl. He just really dominated that game.
He won the game. He won both of those games.
He won the game. Yeah, he did. I mean, to score as well. You know, it's one thing to make a defensive stop, right? Maybe a tackle or interception. You know, a blocked field goal, something along those lines. But it's another thing to make that play and then score as a defensive player. How many opportunities do you have as a defensive player to score? Very rare, right? So to do both. I mean, I think you got to give it to him.
That's just scratching the surface of today's conversation. First tweet coming in from Nate Austin. good friend on the BYU basketball team, at Rexosaurus Rex. He says the Gennaro Guilford pick against Utah in 2001 or blocking the extra point against Washington, Jan Jorgensen, in 2008 that won the game in Seattle. Send us your responses using the hashtag BYUSN. You can listen to the show noon Eastern on BYU Radio, Sirius XM Channel 143. Of course, watch the simulcast because we're on TV now on BYU TV and on BYUtv.org. Rise and shout. It's time for a loaded edition of What's Trending.
What's trending in BYU Sports Nation? Topic one.
Great defensive plays.
Forbath, it's a 28-yard field goal attempt to win the game. The kick is no good. Somebody got a hand in the middle of the field on it. It was blocked. And the Cougars celebrate another Pioneer Las Vegas Bowl win.
Do you remember that, BYU Sports Nation? Ethan Manumaleuna.
Ethan, money, money, money. Get it right. Get it right.
He might as well be money, money, money after that play.
Making a lot of money, money, money.
Blocked
now.
A field goal by Kai Forbath of UCLA in 2007 to win the Las Vegas Bowl.
Defense wins championships.
Defense won a Las Vegas Bowl that night.
Defense wins championships.
Ethan was a freshman. Yeah, Ethan, seventh-year senior, Ethan Manumaleuna.
Man, 10 years. He came in before me. He came in. Wait. He came in before me.
Yes.
Right? I came in for a little bit, and then he left, what, like 2 years after me? 2 years after me?
That is
Grandpa,
correct.
I call him Grandpa Money, 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 Money.
Yeah, Ethan Manumaleuna. That, we've talked about the Gennaro Guilford pick six. We talked about Kyle Van Noy's presence. Now we have Ethan's blocked field goal. And this all stems off of Tim Howard's incredible performance as the goalkeeper for the U.S. men's national soccer team. He gave his team a chance to win the game. Hashtag Steve Wondolowski. What happened, man? Oh, brutal. Okay, well, we're not talking about that.
Yeah, you can't vent anymore, man. You got to move forward.
We've compiled this list, and you have given us some great ideas across BYU Sports Nation. And we're not necessarily ranking them. We just want to know what's at the top of your list. There were a couple that came right to my mind. The one in 1984 from Kyle Morrell as he dove over the line at Hawaii. He did a front flip over the line, grabbed the quarterback's jersey, and kept him from going into the end zone.
That's Coach Mendenhall's favorite by far. By far. When he took over the defense in 2010, this was one of the plays that he showed us. We walked in and he said, "You see this? He's right here? This is what I need from you guys." You think this guy cares?
I need you to do this.
You think this guy cares about his body? Do you? No. That's what I need you guys. I'm like, hold on, wait a minute. I want to play catch with my son when I get old. Like, I want to be able to walk when I'm 30, coach. I don't know. This is what I expect from you guys right here. This is what I want. You think he cares? And then he showed a couple more from some NFL players. But that has to be hands down Coach Mendenhall right there.
Kyle Van Noy, you talked about the two games that he won, and those are on the top of the mind because they happened so recently. Ethan
right.
was 7 years ago in the Las Vegas Bowl. Jan Jorgensen is one I did not think about until I saw a tweet. Nate
yep.
Austin gave that to us. A couple of other people have tweeted about that. The blocked extra point in Seattle. That wasn't necessarily a huge win in BYU's storied career because Washington was not a good football team that year, but
yeah.
still – It left them in the discussion. They were undefeated at that point. I think they were 8-0 at one point in that season because they got the early win at Washington, and credit goes to Jan Jorgensen for blocking the extra point.
See, I think that comes involved with how to rank these, right? Because you can say like the best play, defensive play, or how did the play impact the game, or did the play actually win the game? And then you got to take into consideration the weight behind the game, right? Was it a Washington that nobody really cares about, or was it a bowl game? You know, was it something that maybe allowed BYU to win a national championship? You know,
Kyle Morrell's play was very early in the season, but if he does not make that play against Hawaii in 1984, BYU is nowhere near the national championship conversation. They
right.
had to have amazing plays and, you know, downright strokes of luck to make that magical run in 84.
Let's talk about just some honorable mentions. Like, I know it's not a play. I'm kind of going, kind of off to the, but like the Boise State defensive stand. I like that, even though they lost.
That's a true Tim Howard
I
type
like that.
Play because BYU did not win the game.
Right.
It was
right,
an amazing
right.
display, but they didn't win.
I like the Oklahoma in 2009 defensive stand when I felt bad at the time, but I'm kind of happy now because, I mean, that's six plays, right? Why were there
six plays, Brian?
Because I got a PI.
Yeah, pass interference was called on you.
Yeah, I got a PI, yeah.
Which I thought was bogus, to be quite honest.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I looked at the film, and yeah, it definitely wasn't PI. It was a great play. It was great coverage. Anyway, see, the ball doesn't lie, right? So karma came back, and we still ended up stopping them. You know, we that was third down, right? And then you know, they get the PI first. They get a new set of downs. Go for it on the inch line, and we stop them every single time. And so, to me, I mean, they score that, right? We probably lose. The momentum is changed. But I'm happy that
I could indirectly
be a part of that by, because I was on the field. I got taken out. Oh, get him out. What? P.I., get him out. Come sit on the bench. And I was like, what? Look up on an 80-foot jumbo strong.
Yeah, watch the replay. I know you can see the replay.
Man. Come on. Everybody can see that. That wasn't P.I. Come on, bruv. But no, we put the goal line in and our goal line package. So we had took the corners out and you know, you get extra linebackers in there and stuff to run, you know, four times in a row and boom. I mean, I think that's really underrated.
A great collection of defensive plays in the Oklahoma game. A huge win in BYU history. We have plenty more to discuss. Like I said, we are just scratching the surface. Just to give you a teaser, how about the Cotton Bowl? We haven't talked about two huge plays that were made in the Cotton Bowl. I can actually think of three. There was a play made in the 1990 Miami game that saved the day by a BYU defensive back.
DBs.
And then the Miracle Bowl. There was a play in the Miracle Bowl that nobody has mentioned yet on Twitter that I thought of right away. We'll discuss that coming up in just a few minutes. Let's get to some of your responses right now on the Twitter machine.
It's Twitter time.
In honor of Tim Howard, what is the best defensive play by a BYU player that saved a game? At Y Cougs Rule, Omar Morgan's interception in the Cotton Bowl was big. I was holding my sleeping infant daughter on my arm and nearly dropped her with that play.
Oh, that's great.
That's understandable.
That was a big play.
I was in my living room.
DBs, man. Corners rule the world.
I yelled so loud that my dad came out of his office and thought somebody had. I think he was listening to the game, but like I yelled so loud that he came out of his office. Like, is everything okay?
All right, son. The anticipation that he had just to step into that slant route, man, just something you can't teach, you know. And the way I mean, he kind of fumbled up a little bit. You know, they say DBs don't have hands, which is false. That's why we get interceptions, people. But you know, I it's always great when a DB can get. I mean, you get five to seven interceptions if you're a good DB. You know, so for you to get one to end a game and that type of setting.
I still remember the commentator on CBS Sports, New Year's Day 1997. Number one has to feel like number one right now.
Man,
if
I was him, I would have walked into class the next day. I'm not doing no homework forever. I'm not showing up to class. I'm not practicing next year or in the fall, in the wintertime. I'm not doing nothing.
Preserved everything. It gave him a 14-win season, which was an NCAA record. They were finished the season ranked number five in the country. That was the last time, in my opinion, that BYU had an outstanding, and I mean like top-level defense in the secondary. I know that you've had some good ones. Brian, you were part of a good one. But in 96, they were elite. They sent guys to the NFL that were draft picks. And, man, they proved it on the field, most importantly. They got it done.
They'll do the same this year with this secondary.
Do you really believe that?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Brian's going to tell us why, and we'll talk to one of Brian's buddies coming up next.
Corby Eason
is going to join the show to discuss that very topic next. Why is this BYU secondary in 2014 so special that they could have a run like they did back in 1996? Brian, you got the brain working, man?
It's working. It's working, man.
Plus, more of your tweets coming up. It's a defensive-minded day on BYU Sports Nation. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, your home for authentic BYU products. Spencer Linton and Brian Logan.
Yes, sir.
Live from Studio B at BYU Broadcasting. You're nearing the 4th of July. Hey, follow the show on Twitter at BYU Sports Nation. It airs weekdays, noon Eastern, 10 a.m. Mountain on Sirius XM Channel 143. We're simulcast live on BYU TV. How you feeling, man?
I feel great, man. I'm blessed. I got my brother from another here to my left. I got you to my right, which is that much more special to me. But
nice save, dude.
Boy, I love you, man.
I appreciate that.
I love you. We're like brothers, you know. We're just, you know, I'm just a little bit more tan than you. That's all. That's the only difference. You know, you got a couple inches on me,
I'm
but
catching
that's
up.
It.
I've played a lot of golf. I've got some good sun, man. So.
Yeah, you're getting there. You're getting
watch
there.
Watch out.
Getting a little bit darker.
What?
A little bit chocolate.
Watch out. Okay. Hey, in honor of Tim Howard, what is the best defensive play by a BYU player that saved the game? That is our Twitter question today. It's a defensive-themed show on BYU Sports Nation. At K Meter says, the BYU goal line stand against Boise State, that is the true Tim Howard performance because BYU did not win that game. They lost 7-6. The United States, of course, losing 2-1 in extra right. time against Belgium. Our first guest today, Corby Eason. Brian mentioned his brother from another.
Brother
from another. Okay, BYU defensive back from 2009 to 2011. We're talking great defensive plays, Corby. Do you have an epic, most memorable defensive play in the history of BYU football that comes to mind?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I remember my first year back in 2009 when we played our first home game against Washington. And it was like a sequence of plays that I made a play, then Brian made – I made a play on third down, then Brian turned around and made a play on fourth down to get them off the ball.
I remember that. I remember that.
It was a critical situation in the game, and we needed to stop. Then they went forward on fourth down, and Brian made the final play. So
yeah, it was like what, 2 minutes left or something like that? And they just threw it up. And I remember running, and the receiver who's – He plays for the Seahawks now,
yeah,
right?
Jermaine.
Yeah, yep. Jermaine. He plays for the Seahawks now, and I remember guarding him, and I just remember his eyes lit up, and he was like 6'3", and I was like, oh, man. And I literally said that, and so I kind of waited a little bit. Instead of looking back, I waited, and as soon as his hands went up, I just played through his hands and broke it. But, I remember that. Yeah. That was a fun game.
Corby Eason with us on BYU Sports Nation, former BYU defensive back and a JC transfer. We have discussed a number of different junior college transfers that have made an impact on BYU's secondary, and that's where we want to start this discussion with you, Corby, is the prominence and the importance of the JC transfer in the BYU football program, especially under Bronco Mendenhall. Brian's JC transfer, you were a JC transfer. Why is it that BYU relies so heavily on these guys that have to come in after a few years away from and playing some JC ball?
Oh yeah, I just feel like guys like us, JC guys, we come in, we are ready to play right away, and that's the urgent need that BYU always have to get DBs. I mean, that's the hardest position to recruit, especially as a freshman. I mean, you need to get those guys in to play. And without those guys, it's hard to have a freshman to step in the bright lights. And, I mean, DB is a tough position on the field, I feel like, because you always know when you make a mistake and everything, long run, long pass, is all on you.
Yep.
Because everyone sees you.
Why do you want to play that position?
Spotlight. You know, you get the glory too. You know, it's
risk reward.
I don't wanna compare it to quarterback because quarterback is a whole nother level, right? And you literally put the team on your back, you know, win and lose. But as a DB, man, it's like we talked about this earlier. It's something about just that having that swag, you know. And swag goo, you know, you take your jar out, you put some swag,
swag goo.
We share
oh, yeah.
swag goo. We just, it's
time.
A jar. It's only secondary only.
Oh, yeah.
It's a secret.
How can I get some of this swag goo? Corby, I need some swag
secondary,
goo.
Secondary, man.
You have to earn it. I mean, you have to put your time on the field and just earn it. I feel like it's just a sacred group among us, and tradition is JC guy coming in, making a great impact. I mean, he's just passing the torch every year. And hopefully we have guys that continue doing this. And I feel like that's a great success with BYU program. We can find that guy for 2 years to make an impact right away.
Let's talk about the junior college and just transfer overall defensive backs over the last 6 years. Starting back in 2008, Andrew Rich. Then, Brian, you and Andrew in 2009. Corby, you come in as well there. All three of you were starting at some point in 2010. And 2011, you had Preston Hadley and Joe Sampson to that mix. In 2013, last year, we're bringing Robertson Daniel. Sky Povey, also a transfer. Now in 2014, you have Harvey Jackson transferring from Nebraska. Trenton Trammell coming off an injury, who's a JC guy. And Rob Daniel back for his senior season.
Don't forget Sam Lee.
Sam Lee as well.
People don't really know about Sam. And, I mean, it's a little bit hard to – we can only judge off of his highlights. You know, we got to see a glimpse of Trent because of spring ball. Sam is still going through some things, but yeah, I have high hopes for Sam.
You look at this list. You look at the last 5-6 years, and I'm going to address this question to you specifically, Corby. Do you feel like the secondary, with what that you've been able to do at BYU as a collective group, especially the JC guys over the last 6 years, that you are an underappreciated position?
I feel like we're always underappreciated because we always get the blame when things, like I said, when things go bad. And I feel like with the secondary, you can never go wrong with having too many guys because, for example, last year, guys went down and it was hard to fill in a position. So I feel like the more we can get, the better we can get. I mean, the more we can get, the better BYU will be. And I feel like as a JC guy, I would love to come to BYU because you always had an opportunity to play fast and play for a long time.
What sold you on BYU specifically?
I don't know. It's just Bronco. Like, he's a great guy, and he's able to persuade you to change your lifestyle to come here and to play for him. And that's the biggest thing that changed my life, being able to come here, being able to find my wife, and be able to set a great example for my son. And it's good. I feel like more guys need to come here. I mean, because when I went out recruiting, people told me things about BYU. And if I would never came out here, I probably believed them. And once you come out here, you get a whole nother experience. And most guys don't leave here. And, like, for example, me, I'm still here.
You're still here.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't leave, I was talking to my wife about this the other day. And I said, you know, I think I came to the conclusion, you know, if you are a double minority is what Ben Crittle calls it, when you're black and not Mormon. Or if you're from out of the state, right? If you're from California, even if you are Mormon or whatever, and you're from out of the state, if you don't leave immediately after you graduate, after you're done, you're staying.
We've got you.
You're staying. I mean, you're done. I mean, I'm in the process right now, and Corby is I'm blessed for the opportunity, but Corby is actually helping me and my wife getting a house. And so it came to that time where we were like, you know what? We're going to be here for a while. Let's get a house. Let's stop renting. But, I think that's what it is. I mean, you talk about the experiences that we've had. You know, we've had ups and downs. And, you know, I love just going to practice or going to lunch with Corby and Andrew and Brandon Bradley. And just clowning around, man. I mean, the things that we say, I think we would probably make other grown men cry. But we're just brothers, man. And it's that's something that Coach Mendenhall always said to us, you know, in these meetings was, I mean, yeah, you get to go to the NFL and make some extra money and do this and do that, but these type of relationships that you have forever. And ever
so unique
is something that's so different. At the end of the day, can you call your teammate that on your third NFL team in the middle of the night and say, "Hey, I need some help or I need to talk"? No, false. No,
yeah.
can't do it. I can call him. He can call Corby. Mm-hmm. Corby can call me at 2 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, same thing with Brandon, Andrew. We've done it before.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
And fittingly, Corby has a Band of Brothers t-shirt on representing BYU football today.
All day.
Band of Brothers. See, I can't get swag like that. No, I'm part of the media now. I've been disowned. You know, I can't get stuff like that anymore. Oh, it's media. Let's
you don't
everybody
need
be quiet.
You have the swag goo, right?
I still have the swag goo. We pass it along, though. We pass the torch. Swag goo.
Corby Easton on BYU Sports Nation, former defensive back, joining Brian Logan, who's filling in for Jerem Jordan as well. I mean, Brian, who's hosting, and Spencer is here.
Ah, see, here we go.
So
here we go. See, when they feel threatened, Corby, they feel threatened, man. They got to take shots at me. I was happy, though. I was like, hey, yeah, Spencer, come on the show with me, man. Get my boy, get my brother Corby on. We'll have a good time.
Clearly, you're both tied into the BYU football program still because you're here. You have proximity and you have a lot of communication with each other, and you're talking BYU football all the time. When you look at this year's roster, I personally am very excited about the secondary and the potential they have in 2014. You had good pass defenses. I feel like this can be an exceptional pass defense in 2014.
Great.
As good as the 1996 team that finished number 5 and won the Cotton Bowl.
Better.
Am I off balance with this process of thinking? What do you think, Corby?
I just feel like the first couple of games would tell you whether or not you was on point or not, because on paper, Miami Heat looked great.
That's true. I don't remember a BYU secondary looking this good on paper since 96.
But I will say, if the guys play BYU football and do their responsibility, come to play, they can be one of the greatest secondary ever in BYU.
So it's responsibility driven, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to step up on the field and make the play. We can, like, say, yeah, they're going to be the best. Like, for example, I felt like last year, like, it was all the hype, like, yeah, this is going to be the best secondary. One injury, second injury, it was hard. I mean,
yeah, injury plague, for sure.
So I say the guys got to stay healthy, and if they just prove themselves, I mean, they got a perfect chance to make plays.
Corby, I'm trying to – you know, we do this all day, every day, all day, every day. That's what we used to say, all day, every day. Talk about just the roster and who's going to start over who and what. So right now, on paper, it's looking like – Jordan Johnson at field corner, Rob Daniel at boundary.
Bobby Daniel at boundary corner.
And the reason why, and you can probably give some insight to this, Corby, is he's getting a lot of interest from NFL scouts, and so it's a much more appealing, as we both know, being 5'6" and 5'7". It's much more appealing to have a corner that's 6'2", 6'3", than a safety that's 6'2", 6'3". That's almost an average height for an NFL safety, but for an NFL corner, that looks great. And then you got Craig Beals at free safety. I'm projecting Harvey Jackson, the transfer from Nebraska, to start at CAT.
Which is the strong safety.
Which is the strong safety. So that's what I have right now. Jordan Johnson, Rob Daniel, Craig Beals, Harvey Jackson. What I would like to see is for Bronco to kind of do what he did with Joe Sampson. With you guys at the nickel, right? And kind of go more for a base, because you want your best athletes on the field at all times. Go back to high school days, right? When all 11 starters on offense play, you know, the same positions on defense, And so what I would like to see is same thing with field corner, Jordan Johnson. Boundary corner, I would like Trent Trammell or Sam Lee. I would let them battle it out this camp, this upcoming camp, fall camp. Craig Beals still stays at free. Harvey Jackson still stays at CAT, but then I had Rob Daniel at the nickel. Yeah. That's what I would like to see, just to get all the talent at once, you know, on the field at the same time.
I feel like BYU is heading that direction. They realize, I mean, when they play the Power 5 conferences and they need the best guys on the field to compete, and we're not in the WAC or the Mountain West anymore, so we have to put the best guys and make plays.
When you're playing a schedule, and this year's schedule is quote-unquote weaker, but you still have games at Central Florida, at Boise State, and at Texas, for crying out loud. You're right. You need a different level of competition and talent. It looks like the talent is there. Is the talent going to be good enough for BYU to really – you said that they're going to be the best secondary maybe ever, but does that mean that they have a special season? What do you think?
I would know pretty soon, like I say, the first couple of games, because
that's the ultimate test.
Oh yeah, because spring ball, fall camp, guys can look really good, but once the lights come on, I mean, you can really see that it can only make plays on BYU receivers or the scout, I mean, the lower tier guys that we have. And we're not going against the top recruited athletes, receivers that the other team have.
Right, everybody looks good. Yep.
Isn't it interesting that as we're talking about the greatest defensive plays for a BYU football player that saved a game, that the majority of these are from defensive backs.
From corners.
Kyle Morrell in 1984 against White, defensive back.
Yeah.
Hey, Gennaro Guilford, 2001 against Utah, defensive back. Tim McTyre, Cotton Bowl, defensive back. Omar Morgan, defensive back in the Cotton Bowl. Irvin Lee, we're going to talk about him against Miami coming up, defensive back.
That's what it is, man. It's the best athletes play corner.
Oh yeah.
That's just bottom line. That's what it is. And in all of sports, you know, that's what I believe. Hey, you know what I forgot to look up was our stats. One time we were competing, so with pass breakups. Yeah. So I think I had the record, right? I think you were close. I think Preston might have broken, who's another JC transfer, Preston Hadley. But I would like to see that, man. I haven't looked at it, in a minute, because I would still like to have those bragging rights, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like when we're like, you know, at each other's house and he cooks dinner and he's like, hey, can you do dishes? I'm like, well, who has the most pass breakups? That should be, you know.
Breaking news. I'm being told that Corby Eason had 17 and Brian Logan had 18.
Woo! Okay. No wow. dishes. No
oh,
dishes.
They're telling me 21 now.
21.
So you're up 21.
Oh, I've got my interceptions, man.
Oh, yeah.
You had what interception?
Zero. I dropped all of mine.
Corby's hands. Fingers. You got to look at Corby's fingers. And we would always clown on his fingers and his hands. And I remember.
Who's taller?
Come on, man.
Me.
Okay. There you go, Corby. You got that on.
Still got you. Dishes. Corby caught a ball one day in practice for the first time. And everybody stopped. Everybody at practice stopped and started clapping. The whole practice stopped and everybody was clapping. Like, my God. It was a big deal, man. We went and bought him dinner, some Jamba Juices afterwards.
You sure you want to hang out with Brian anymore, Corby?
No, it's fine. It's Brandon is the problem.
Brandon Bradley.
He always feels bad that he doesn't fit in with us because
he's old.
Yep.
He's like 35.
Tall.
He's like 35 years old.
And not a JC guy. So
yeah, he's not JC.
He always feels left out, and it's okay, Brandon. Like, bands will be okay.
The band of JC brothers. Hey, Corby, it's been great to have you. Before you go, would you mind signing BYU Sports Nation Rise Up flag? Give us your autograph. It's a defensive-themed BYU Sports Nation today. Our question is, in honor of Tim Howard, what is the best defensive play by a BYU player that saved the game? Keep your responses coming using the hashtag BYUSN. We'll get to some of those next. This is BYU Sports Nation simulcast on BYU Radio and on BYU TV. BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, your home for authentic BYU products. Spencer Linton and Brian Logan, live from Studio B. Follow the show on Twitter at BYU Sports Nation. You can follow us at Spencer_Linton and at Brian Logan 7.
Seven.
Not at Brian's Brain.
Not at Brian's Brain.
Although
not
there
yet.
Has been much social media interaction to
come,
make that change.
I got to come with it, man. I got to come with the whole rebranding. And I'm just scared. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm scared. You know, when you're scared, you should go to church. I'm scared. I'm getting a lot of good feedback, and it's great. I'm having fun with it.
Why don't you just form a second Twitter account?
Because I don't even know how to do the first one that good. Just being honest.
And the truth comes
just
out.
Just being honest, man.
Hey, if you have an opportunity, check out the Xbox 360 app for BYU TV that was just recently released. I just downloaded it. It's awesome. You can watch BYU games from forever ago. I mean, just hundreds of games with a few clicks on demand. You can also do that at BYUTVSports.com. Give it a go. It's something to do during the summer. I watched the BYU-Miami game just a few days ago and really enjoyed it. There's so much I forgot about it. I was like, wow. Like, there were so many big plays in that game when BYU knocked out the number one team in the country, and that's just the outside of what those mediums will give to you.
That's right. That's right. I'm going to go back and watch Oklahoma.
You should.
I'm gonna live in the glory day. I'm gonna be one of those guys that say, "Hey, you know, back in the day, you know, when I was playing."
Go back and assess your pass interference call during that 6-play goal line stand.
I'm gonna turn off Mickey Mouse Clubhouse and force my son to watch the Oklahoma game. That's what I'm gonna do.
I'm interested to hear how that goes and how long he lasts.
He's going through terrible too. He's about to be 3, but man, this dude. is crazy. This dude, man.
Quote of the day from Brian Logan and for his 2-year-old son. This dude is crazy.
This dude is cray. Golly. Just pray for me. Sports Nation, pray for me, please.
Put
me at the top of your prayer list.
Put it out there.
Top three in the prayer list would be great for terrible twos.
So we've been talking defense today. Tim Howard, U.S. men's national team goalkeeper, had an incredible performance. Defense single-handedly put the U.S. in position to win the game. And that got us thinking, what is the greatest defensive play that saved the game by a BYU defensive player? Continue to think about that, sending your tweets using the hashtag BYUSN. We're also talking the secondary today specifically and the junior college or just transfer players that are having an impact on the BYU program, specifically in the Bronco Mendenhall era. We just had Corby Eason. He told us that he feels like this can be the best secondary that BYU has ever had. It looks good on paper, but it's all about fulfilling responsibilities on the field. Can they be disciplined enough to take that honor of being the best secondary ever?
He makes a great point, because Coach Mendenhall, if you look in the past with secondaries that weren't as talented as ours, or a fraction of the talent of this secondary this year, they still had great stats and great numbers and defended well. And that's what makes Coach Mendenhall so great, is that he could take a walk on, you know, that runs a 4.8, 5.8, 200 pounds, like Scott Johnson, for example.
5.8?
No, 5.8, height wise, 5.8.
Oh, okay. Runs a 5.8.
Oh,
he's
super
fast.
That's impossible. I would quit everything in life.
If that happened.
I mean, for example, like Scott Johnson, I think one of the best players I've ever played against. I played with. He was a safety in 2009. I know he played all around. He's kind of like a Sky Povey as far as playing everywhere, every position. He was another coach athletically. Just no. Nope.
Interesting.
Wasn't there. But you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know. I mean, you put him on a basketball game, something like that. No. But football, knowing his responsibilities, first one in the film room, last one to leave, just knowing always 5 steps ahead of the opponent and the quarterback and the coach, the offensive coordinator, and he's an all-star. But, that comes with preparation and how Coach Mendenhall, really prepares his players for the game. And so he can take those type of guys and put them on the field, and you would never know that half of them are walk-ons.
Now, can you do that with the purebred talent?
That is where the issue is, because everybody that has talent, right, is really arrogant.
And they have almost a natural sense of entitlement.
Yeah, and sometimes you can put too much swagoo on, and you're just like, what's really hard too is you have somebody like Bobby Daniel, who had a great year, right? He's getting some NFL love, and it can go down south real fast. Not working hard.
Happen with Rob Daniel.
Oh, no.
Knowing what I know about him.
No. I mean, you look at his Twitter and his Instagram account, it's nothing but pictures of weights and speed drills. So that's great. But as an example, you go into fall camp and you're like, oh, I know everything. I was all conference. I got NFL scouts looking at me. I'm not talking to you, coach. I'm not listening. Put your, earplugs, blah, 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 blah. I'm not listening to you. And so that's the biggest challenge of any coach at any school, is to deal with those type of players, especially the players that have proven it. Because when you first come in, you're humble and you're like, oh, yes, taking notes. Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Then, you get that swagoo under your belt and you're like, man, I'm not listening to you. You're like 40 years old. You never played D1 ball. You can't tell me what to do. I live this life. You ain't about that life, coach.
It's about discipline.
That's what it is.
You're right. It's about the humility approach and discipline. Can they implement that into the purebred talent on the roster?
This is what Coach Mendenhall does, though. Because you have an interception, right? You have a great game. You may be the defensive MVP of the game. But when you come in on Monday afternoon on the big screen in front of everybody, he'll point out your flaw. You see this right here? Mm-hmm. You may have got interception, but this left foot right here, if this was just a little bit closer right here, you would have been out of position, you wouldn't have got an interception, and this guy would have scored. And you're just like, wait a minute. How did this just turn from an interception to a – I got a negative on my grade sheet? This should be a plus. Why is this a negative on an interception? What the heck is going on?
Yeah, that's Bronco.
Oh, and you get so humble. I mean – I'm already 5'6". I mean, he makes me feel like 4'2". I mean, you know, but it keeps you humble. It keeps you hungry, and he constantly reminds you that you haven't arrived yet. And that's why you got guys like Kyle Van Noy who just continues to progress, got better and better and better, and didn't get complacent at all, because in the back of his mind he's like, man, I haven't arrived yet. I'm not perfect, you know, and that's a great sign of a coach.
Brian, you're part of a horde of JC transfers in the defensive secondary that have really made an impact in the Bronco Mendenhall era. I mean, you look at guys like Andrew Rich and yourself. We just talked to Corby. He had an impact. Preston Hadley had a great impact on the
program.
He's
up there with stats, too.
Hey, Joe Sampson. Now Rob Daniel coming in out of nowhere and having a great season. He was the guy. He was the most underappreciated guy in the secondary, according to Bronco Mendenhall last year. Mm-hmm. These are all transfer guys. And it is a trend in the BYU program right now under Bronco Mendenhall that I love to see. And that brings us to our stat of the day.
It's the BYU Sports Nation stat of the day.
Two. Get the deuces up. Since 2009, BYU has had at least two junior college transfers start in the secondary.
Ooh.
So whenever I hear about a JC transfer, I can't help but think, okay, he's going to play. He can play, and he's going to play.
Yeah, they're ready to play. They got the swagoo out. They got the confidence up. They're ready to play. That's what you need to do. That's what you're there for when you're JC. You're not there to pick your nose on the sideline, put the pads on, and get ready.
Up next, we play Big Deal, No Deal, and more of your tweets about the best defensive play by a BYU player. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to
this
BYU Sports Nation.
And you are in BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation, sponsored in part by National Processing, credit card processing for your business needs. You know what I want to do right now, Brian?
Brian's brain.
Well, not that. First of all, I want to remind everyone that you can check out tons and tons of videos on BYU TV Sports YouTube channel. You can see all of the individualized interviews that we do on this desk. And then you can go back to Media Day, see everything. Check it out, the YouTube channel from BYUTVSports.com. Now, do you know what I want to do?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Big deal? No deal.
That is correct.
I'm helping you out a little bit. I'm not messing with you no more. You're taking a lot of shots. A lot of shots have been fired.
National Processing sponsorship of Big Deal, No Deal is a big deal. Credit card processing for your business needs. Notice how I put the emphasis on deal and not deal,
deal.
As in dill pickle.
Deal.
Okay?
It's good. Okay, pronounce the E's.
Number one.
Big deal, no deal. Ty Detmer asking Taysom Hill for advice on the read option.
This is a big deal because he's a Heisman Trophy winner and a very accomplished high school football coach, 14-year NFL veteran, who told us yesterday on BYU Sports Nation, I actually talked to Taysom Hill at a charity golf tournament and asked him for some opinions, some advice on the read option because his high school team's going to run some of those plays. Can you imagine if you're Taysom? Yeah, that's a big deal that a Heisman Trophy winner, the guy in the quarterback factory, is saying, hey, I need your help.
You know what? I'm going to go the opposite direction. I don't think it's that big of a deal. It's a big deal, but I don't think it's that big of a deal because it's like asking.
It's Ty Detmer.
Well, wait, though. If he's the best player in the universe. So it's like, of course you're going to ask
Ty Detmer is,
like,
or Taysom Hill?
No, Taysom Hill.
Okay.
Of course you're going to ask the best player in the universe how to run the offense you want to run. It just makes sense. Like, if I'm trying to to play quarterback and I go, hey, Ty, like, can you give me some tips? You're the best play, you know, best quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks that BYU's had. It makes sense, man. So, not a big deal.
You like that
twist, huh? You like that.
Number two. I'm shaking my head vehemently.
Gave it to him.
Number two.
Big deal, no deal. Steve Young says he doesn't want Taysom to have the ball in his hand at the end of the play.
This is interesting because another legendary BYU quarterback was on set with us last Friday. You can watch that entire interview, by the way, on demand, BYUTVSports.com. And he said that if Taysom ends up with the ball in his hands at the end of a play, then it's a mistake. And he was speaking specifically about pass plays. If he drops back to pass and it ends up in his hands, it's a mistake. Now, BYU fans viewed this as, hey, I don't care if he comes down and makes his first read and it's not there, run,
yeah,
because he's amazing. Steve says that is not what should happen. That's a brand new take and something that goes against what Taysom did last year. That's a big deal.
I think it's a big deal. It is a big deal. I see where Steve is coming from. I have to disagree with him as much as it hurts my heart to say, because I'm a huge Steve Young fan, 49er fan growing up. So it's to me, I mean, he is one of the best players on the field. He's going to be one of the best players on the field at all times. Why not have the ball in his hands as much as possible? Why not even put him at safety some plays? See if he can make some interceptions. I mean, he could do it all.
Please don't do that.
but I'm saying I can see his point as far as, yeah, if it's a pass play and his first read's not there and he tucks it and run, yeah, I can see that. That's not evolving as a quarterback and going through your progressions. But if you're number one's not there, number two's not there, number three's not there, and you know the clock is ticking, yeah, run. If you can get one yard, then instead of throwing it away, yes, but protect yourself. Go out of bounds, slide.
Number three.
Big deal, no deal. At BYU Mama, offering at J Swag Daddy as a possible babysitter for Brian.
Big deal. Huge, huge deal. Please.
Nicole Williams is the mother of Jamal Williams, and she has just offered the services of J Swag Daddy to babysit for Brian.
I can't wait. I need a date night with my wife. Hey, Mrs. Logan, we got one. We found one. We're good.
She also said, yeah, okay, so she mentioned Saturday night, but then said, so true about Swag Goo, which you were talking about with Corby. That's why I still discipline J Swag Daddy. You gotta keep him humble.
You gotta keep him humble. See, that's why it was such a great fit with her and Coach Mendenhall and Jamal coming, because they're all on one accord. You gotta discipline them. You can't let the Swag Goo take over. Can't do it.
This is a big deal because she's awesome.
This is a huge deal.
Is really involved in BYU Sports Nation. We love it. Let's go number four.
Big deal, no deal. The World Cup. Now the U.S. is eliminated.
I'm going to say no deal. When your team is in it, it's so exciting. And it matters so much. But then it just kind of, like, the excitement fell off of a cliff for me yesterday. Like, I like to watch soccer. I like Brazil and Germany and Argentina and Messi and Neymar and all those great players. But I'm not, like, setting the DVR so I don't miss one second. So I'm going to say that the World Cup now is no deal because I'm for the U.S.
It's no deal. You know, I hate is a strong word. I dislike soccer. It's weird to me that you could end a sport in a tie. You shouldn't even label it a sport or a competition because there's a winner
and
a loser.
But you can't in the World Cup once you get to the elimination round.
Right. But what I'm saying is that I was so involved and eyes were glued this whole time, like what you said, Spencer. As far as your team being and exciting,
country.
And oh man, I was the number one soccer. You wouldn't have thought that I didn't like soccer. I was the number one soccer fan. I was sneaking in my and you know, at work and my boss's office, looking at the games. Now it's irrelevant.
Yeah, that's tough.
It's
all right. It's let's whatever. Keep it rolling. A defensive minded BYU Sports Nation today here at BYU Broadcasting in honor of Tim Howard and the U.S. Men's National Soccer Team. What is the best defensive play by a BYU player that saved a game? Irvin Lee will be mentioned next after this. And we've also forgotten to do something. Hashtag Rentschler Field. This is BYU Sports Nation. BYU Sports Nation presented in part by DexterLaw.com. Help when you need it most. Spencer Linton and Brian Logan hanging out. You know what time it is.
Brian's brain.
Yes. No. It is not. Do you know what time it really is?
Countdown to Connecticut.
58 days. 58 days until BYU kicks off the season at UConn. Tomorrow on the show, Tony Crutchfield, another defensive back and a great one who played in that 1990 upset win over number one Miami, will join us. We're going to talk about the secondary, find out what Tony's up to. Now, let's bring on today's Rise and Shout, brought to you by Dexter & Dexter. Help when you need it most. DexterLaw.com, and it goes to the new Secretary of Defense for the U.S., goalkeeper Tim Howard. 16 saves, the most since 1966 in the World Cup. Now, in honor of Tim Howard, what is the best defensive play by a BYU player that saved the game? Let's go to the Twitter machine. Okay, at Jordan, at JM Feinauer. Irvin Lee, goal line pass breakup in the fourth quarter with a few minutes left versus Miami in 1990. He says it's also a clinic for anyone playing defensive back. Favorite. Also, Dewey Gray, another defensive back in that game, said that was the loudest he'd ever heard Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
Wow.
Yeah. At Hatch Phillip, at the Hawaii game, Kyle Morrell. Alani Fua's game-clinching pick against Houston. That's from at Future Cougar 32. Man, Omar Morgan, Tim McTyre, so many great defensive plays. Join the conversation. Hashtag BYUSN.
Defensive backs.
For Brian Logan.
Secondary.
I'm Spencer Linton. Thanks to all of our guests. Shout out to Norm Dixon. We're back to work tomorrow.
Shout out to the secondary.